Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. This just in, a Hamas source says the group has accepted a Gaza ceasefire proposal by U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff that reportedly involves the liberation of 10 hostages and a 70-day truce. At Arlington National Cemetery, President Trump is about to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and make Memorial Day remarks. From Friday to Sunday, Russia launched as many as 900 drones at Ukraine. President Trump seems frustrated with Russian President Putin.
We're in the middle of talking and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
CBS's Scott McFarlane.
President Trump has given that very rare direct rebuke of Vladimir Putin, with the Kremlin suggesting President Trump is emotionally overloaded.
And the American Music Awards are tonight. You can watch at 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS and Paramount Plus. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you're celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and you're overindulging, plan to have a designated driver or utilize a rideshare app. But if someone you know is in a pinch, AAA is offering an option to keep impaired drivers from getting behind the wheel. The Tow2Go program means anybody in a bind who doesn't have a way home except for their car, but has had too much, can call AAA and they'll tow your car where you need it to go. You do not need to be a AAA member to use the service. It's available through tomorrow morning. And a proposal at the state capitol would expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequalities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on Election Day.
And anytime you're in a car, you should be wearing a seatbelt. That's what authorities are focusing most on for the next few days. Law enforcement agencies across the country and across Wisconsin have started their annual campaign to reinforce seatbelt wearing. Melissa Kay has more.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins May 19th and runs through June 1st. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt, and drivers can be fined for every unbuckled passenger in their vehicle. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday.
You can find more Wisconsin news at civicmedia.us. Hope you're having a safe holiday weekend. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series this Memorial Day at AmFam Field in Milwaukee against the Boston Red Sox. We'll recap the game later tonight. The Crew with a 6-5 win over the Pirates Sunday at PNC Park. Overall, another good showing from starter Logan Henderson. The win going to reliever Jared Koenig. The Brewers coming back with clutch hits in the eighth, and closer Trevor McGill earned the save in the ninth. Pat Murphy.
McGill, that was remnants of our closers of the past. The best. Last four or five times. We're showing signs. I mean, didn't have to win this game the way it was going. Four hits and three in the first, and then looking behind us, and we've seen this a bunch this year. It was really just like sick to my stomach. And then bam, bam, bam. You know, you just knew those guys. I mean, and they're all behind in the count and still battling with, I think every hit was with two strikes or nearly every hit. And the Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind will be east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 47 for a low tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, our award-winning kitchen show within a show. Where the boys here get points, and they matter.
Whoa, wait a minute, what? I thought the points didn't matter.
I have more than you.
Wait a minute, didn't we do this already? You said it was a joke, and I didn't need to worry about the points.
Well, I may have fibbed a bit.
How is it possible you have more points than me? She doesn't even like you. How does these points work? How can I get more?
I don't know, brother. I don't know. I just get random notifications saying that I'm ahead in points.
I'm not sending you any notifications.
Where are they coming from, then? What is going on?
Well, that's a mystery for another day. We've wasted enough time. Let's get to the show. Today, we're going to talk about grilling.
But I want to... Did you say grilling? Okay. All right. If you were going to distract me with something, that's a good choice. I love grilling food. Charcoal or gas, burgers or hot dogs. If you grill it, I will eat it.
I'm going to hold you to that later. But for now, let's talk about grilling tips for beginners. It's the start of the grilling season, but maybe some of us haven't grilled before. Perhaps you've only ever watched from the sidelines. Maybe you're a pro, but you've forgotten some of these tips.
It never hurts to have a refresher.
I don't know if there's anything you can tell me about grilling I don't already know. Wait, now that I've said that out loud, that sounds pretty boastful. Why are my thoughts appearing on the script again? This is crazy. This is literally what I would be saying, and it's right here. All right, fine. I'll keep an open mind and listen to your tips. I'm sure I can learn something today. I usually do this in the segment. Okay.
The tools you'll need, according to feelgoodfoodie.net, include grilling tongs and Turner set, stainless steel grill basket, barbecue metal skewers, a meat thermometer, a basting brush, grill prep and serve trays, a fish turner, and a grill press.
A grill press? Is my grill working out now? Is it benching?
Well, you could work out with it, I guess. A cast iron grill press weighs over 2 pounds.
Ooh.
That's a long list of tools. Do I really need all of them?
Of course not. Especially if you're not grilling fish. You'll have no need for a fish turner, and honestly, a good old-fashioned stainless steel spatula would work just fine. A solid one, which also double as a grill press for your burgers.
All right, so I need a grill and a spatula. What's next?
Preheat your grill. This step is critical for several reasons. It will keep your food cooked evenly, sear your meats instead of steaming them, and help prevent food from sticking.
Now, after your grill is preheated, you should clean your grates. That is, unless you cleaned it after your last grilling session, right? A good grill brush with a scraper or wire bristles works great for this.
That was in the tool list, though.
But don't you already have one?
Of course I do.
All right, then. Once your grills are clean, you can wipe them down with some oil, and you're ready to add the food.
I'm adding oil to fire. That sounds like an opportunity to get my eyebrows shortened.
You don't use an excessive amount of oil, James. Mm. You just put a little on a folded paper towel and use the tongs to lightly oil the grates.
Another thing not on your tools list, if I'm just nitpicking.
Tongs were on the list.
Paper towels weren't.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Can we stop being pedantic and stay on track here?
So your grill is preheated, oiled, and ready for food. You want to have your other tools nearby so they're handy while you're grilling. A meat thermometer is one of those essential tools you'll want to have so you know when your meat is done.
Pedantric. I'm sorry. I'm looking up pedantric. Nah, I can't tell. I can't tell by feel. I can't.
Oh, sure you can.
Actually, I can, and I even have a source. McCormick.com says you can use your hand to tell the doneness of meat. Hold up your hand. See the fleshy part at the base of your thumb? Mm-hmm. Not the web, the part between your thumb and your wrist. Oh. If the meat feels like that, it's raw. Now hold your thumb to your index finger and press on the fleshy part again. That's what rare feels like. Your middle finger to thumb is medium rare. Your ring finger to thumb is medium. And pinky to thumb is well done. Go ahead and try that one more time, everybody. That's a great way to...
That's actually really cool.
So cool. I cannot wait to tell my dad this one. He's going to flip out over that.
Man. Yeah.
That is a really cool
way
to do
that. Man, I wish
we
were on video now. That'd be great.
Shout out to that one. Because I had to actually look up a video to try it because I was pressing on the web.
Oh, yeah.
Index finger, mm-hmm. And it's like, no, that's not right.
You got these big, goofy hands, and I was doing the same thing, Melissa. Yeah.
All right. Well, that might work for a high-quality steak, but I want a meat thermometer for things like chicken, pork, or wild game.
Yes. No sense getting brain worms from undercooked bear meat.
For those who don't know what Seth is referring to, a family in South Dakota were infected with parasitic roundworms after eating undercooked bear meat at a family reunion. They were fooled by the dark color of the meat and didn't check it before serving. Six people became sick and three or four were hospitalized.
Yikes. Man. The kicker in the story is that the meat was frozen for 45 days before they cooked and ate it. That should have killed any parasites, but it didn't. When they finally tested the rest of the meat, it had been frozen for 110 days and the roundworm larvae were still alive.
Whoa.
Ugh.
Whoa.
And this is why I will always cook my bear meat and any other wild game to an internal temperature of at least 165 degrees for at least 3 minutes. You know, I might even go to 170 just to be safe.
Yeah.
Better safe than brainworm, I always say.
That old phrase.
I always do say that, by the way. I say that all the time.
Well, bear meat is like purple. So could you tell from the color? Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So what you're telling me is this family, they do a get together. Let's have bear meat. Anyone know how to cook bear meat?
Right.
Apparently not.
They made it as kebabs. So it was bear meat and vegetables on kebabs. And when they took it off the grill and started eating it, they realized it was raw and put it back on.
Too late.
But even the people who just ate the vegetables because there was cross-contamination, they were some of them that
got sick too.
Were ones who just ate the vegetables.
I love the idea of trying different meats. I've always wanted to try ostrich around here, some of those and everything, but I will never prepare it myself. I would never have. I've heard too many stories like this, and I'm not even a country kid, and I've heard enough stories of people like, not just with even squirrels and some meats, like cooking them up and not cooking them properly or whatever, it being infected with something like I let pros take care of that.
It's
the
idea.
Only time I back away from the grill. The only time I back away. I'll let a pro do this one.
Or maybe just keep a meat thermometer in your back pocket.
Seems like a good one too.
So now let's talk about the difference between direct and indirect heat.
I know this one. Direct heat is directly over the fire. Indirect heat is on the side of the heat source. Easy peasy.
That's right. You want to put quick cooking foods. Too self-satisfied. We'll want to put quick cooking foods like burgers and vegetables over direct heat. Indirect heat is a great option for slower cooking cuts like a roast.
Now, before we get to the actual cooking, you want to make sure you prep everything. Preparation is key.
I agree, but I thought we already prepped.
Well, we prep the tools. You also need to prep the food, James.
What's the prep? You just throw the burger on it. A little bacon on the side, add some cheese. After you flip it, bam, you're done.
What about the veggies? What about the marinated chicken? Not everyone wants a bacon double cheeseburger every time they grill, James.
Then they're wrong. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You can grill other things if you want. Anything tastes better on the grill, even vegetables.
If your recipe calls for a marinade, you want to plan ahead so you can leave the protein in the marinade long enough. You'll also want to let meat come to room temperature before you put it on the grill. Aha. Usually about a half hour on the counter is long enough. This allows for even cooking and will result in tender and juicy meat.
Mm-hmm. It's important to season well, and this doesn't just mean adding salt. Using a variety of herbs and spices really helps bring out the flavors in your food.
Here's the important tips from Feel Good Foodie for the actual grilling process. Don't flip too often. Resist the urge to flip your meat too often. Flipping once or twice is usually enough to ensure even cooking. If you try to lift the meat before it's ready, it will stick to the grates. Let the meat develop a crust before you try to move it.
Hmm. Keep the lid closed. Keeping the lid closed while grilling helps to trap the heat and smoke, which adds flavor and helps to cook the food more evenly. Only open the lid when you need to flip or move the food.
Now, baste or brush with sauce. If you're adding sauce or extra marinade to the meat, don't add it too early as the sugars can burn. If you're adding a sauce with sugar, wait until closer to the end of cooking.
Move food around. If you notice that one area of your grill is hotter than another, move your food around to ensure even cooking. Know which part of your grill is direct and indirect heat.
And use a meat thermometer, James. When checking if your meat is done, don't keep stabbing at it with a fork or prongs. This causes the juices to escape, leaving you with less flavorful and juicy piece of meat.
It's also important to follow basic safety guidelines when grilling. Keep a fire extinguisher nearby. Use long-handled utensils to prevent burns and keep children and pets away from the grill.
You also want to make sure that the grill is on a stable surface away from flammable materials and overhanging structures.
Mm-hmm. Now, after you've removed your meat from the grill, you want to let it rest for at least 5 to 10 minutes before serving. Cover it loosely with foil and be patient. It will continue to cook for a bit after you take it off the heat, so you'll want to remove it slightly before the right temperature is reached. And there's plenty of online guides with timing charts and things that you can look up to use for that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that mostly. There's one exception that I would put on here for brats.
Yeah.
After you grill the brats, put them into a beer bath. Because
yeah.
That only adds flavor. It also keeps mm-hmm. them keeps them warm, too, if it's yeah, a warmed up just, beer. Yeah.
Like in a crock pot or
yeah,
something?
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
When it comes to salmon, if you're not using a little wooden thing that mm-hmm. you usually cook salmon on or something like that, that's a great thing to put it on afterwards.
Oh.
It keeps the salmon like the freshness there somehow or something.
Good tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've
Melissa.
Never grilled salmon. I've only broiled it in the oven.
Ooh, actually, I haven't done that. I've only grilled it. Oh, that's interesting.
It's really easy to broil in the oven.
I'm going to try
it. We're not talking about broiling.
The salmon is so good.
I'm with you. Salmon's great.
Let's talk recipes.
Bacon double cheeseburgers!
I'm pretty sure everybody knows how to make a good
bacon
double cheeseburger.
So what you need is...
We're going to talk about something a little different. Like, how about sweet potato turkey burgers?
Ooh.
I'm intrigued. I heard burger.
Sweet potato and turkey together, both. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay.
So,
all right. Yep. I actually really want to try these. The recipe is simple. It's from Joyfully Mad Kitchen, which is also the greatest name for a
yeah,
website.
Yeah, that is great. That is awesome.
It calls for 1 pound of ground turkey, 1 cooked sweet potato, 1 tablespoon of minced garlic, 1 handful of spinach chopped, and 1 teaspoon each of salt and pepper. Mix all the ingredients together and form 6 patties. You grill them for about 3 to 4 minutes on each side, and you can add a slice of Munster cheese during the last minute if you want, and then serve them on onion buns.
Oh my gosh. That sounds
sound
delightful.
Phenomenal?
I'd try that. I would definitely try that.
Yeah. The sweet potato is what helps hold it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You usually use like an egg or something
right.
in a burger, but it adds moisture and it holds it all together. It sounds delicious.
I have made many a turkey burger over the years. Now, this sounds really good. Yeah. They tend to dry out if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. How about this? How about grilled prosciutto wrapped asparagus to go with those burgers? There's a lot of cheese in these.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, prosciutto isn't
prosciutto
cheese, but the Munster in the other one. Anyway, they are so easy
and simply
delicious. Just cut off the bottom stocky part of the asparagus after washing. Wrap each stalk in a half to full piece of prosciutto. Drizzle with olive oil and grind fresh pepper over the bunch. Grill for about 6 minutes on each side. I really wish I liked asparagus because this sounds awesome. I really wish I liked asparagus.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need to try it this way.
It will. I do like prosciutto, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And grilled asparagus is really good.
I've tried it. And it just drives me crazy.
That. I said that.
Yes,
I just
that's
said
true.
Grilled asparagus.
I said a vegetable was good. Yeah.
You would eat this, okay?
Yeah, I would try this one. Okay, I got one that I not only can get behind, but I think all y'all will be able to.
All right.
Grilled peaches with chocolate balsamic drizzle.
Oof.
Ooh.
Have your peaches and take the pits out. Make a marinade with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of honey, and 1 teaspoon of balsamic vinegar. Whisk that together and pour it over the peach halves in a bowl. Once your grill is preheated, use tongs to place the peach halves cut side down on the grill grates. Keep the bowl with the marinade in it. Turn the peaches after having about 3 or 4 minutes on the grill, the other side, for another 3 or 4 minutes. After you take the peaches off the grill, you'll add the drizzle. Melt one once with dark chocolate and mix it into the bowl of remaining marinade. Drizzle this over the grilled peaches. You can sprinkle the top with nuts and a little salt if you desire.
Wow.
That sounds so good.
Desserts on the grill. Never, yeah. Ever think about that. Oh, that's right? Amazing.
Warm, like ice cream and hot, like desserts are amazing. Yes, I would try this now, like right now.
There are some people who don't like warm fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. Mm.
But I am not those people.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, yeah.
And this balsamic vinegar is actually an amazing ingredient.
It is so, yes. I think almost every kitchen should have it. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is actually something you can put a little dollop of ice cream in the middle, too.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
little pit
yeah,
area of the peach yeah, half. Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit, yeah.
Oh. Just a little bit. Well, I think it's time to wrap up this segment. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of The Kitchen's Open.
If you'd like to become a sponsor for the segment, please contact Pam at our front office.
The number is 715-424-1300. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the specifics. That's 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
In Flanders Fields is one of the most notable poems written during World War I, perhaps even the most famous war poem of all time. Canadian physician and Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae wrote it on 3rd May of 1915, after he witnessed the death of his friend, Lieutenant Alex Helmer, 22 years old, the day before.
In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high, if ye break faith with us who die. We shall not sleep, though poppies grow, in Flanders Fields.
In Flanders Fields was first published in December 1915. Within months, the poem came to symbolize the sacrifices of all those who were fighting for in the First World War. Today, the poem continues to be part of the memorial ceremonies around the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Well, welcome to The Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. We're excited to bring you these little nuggets of kitchen wisdom each week. This week, we're talking about asparagus.
Really? Asparagus? Yay! Some people adore asparagus, and others wouldn't want to poke it with a 10-foot pole. But before we get too deep into it, we want to thank our sponsor. The Kitchen is Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering, a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
That's right, Beth. Personally, I love asparagus, but it took me until I started making it myself.
I'll share that story in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we're still talking about spring foods, but now is the time to start thinking about booking a caterer for your summer parties. Kathy's homemade sauces and foods are delicious, mm-hmm. and they're even better enjoyed outdoors. Make your party planning easy by calling Kathy.
That's right. Kathy will help you plan the perfect menu for any party you're planning. Just call 715-712-3393. We'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment.
Right now, we're going to talk about some aspergas, sparrowgrass, or just grass. No, mm-hmm. not that kind, you two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a little nervous.
We're talking about the stalky green vegetable that's been a part of our diet for ages.
Mm-hmm. Literal ages. It was grown in ancient Greece and Rome. Royalty had a fascination with it. It's said that Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus organized elite military units to search out this vegetable.
In the present day, asparagus patch locations are a guarded secret. And beware to those who harvest someone else's patch.
For real. I used to have two neighbors who had this long-standing feud about who owned a particular patch. It was on the edge of one's field, but the other neighbor argued it was in the ditch. Oh, the stories I used to hear. She would spitting mad. But
I can only imagine.
Well, before we get to who owns what, let's start by diving into the history of asparagus. The family Asparagaceae has up to 300 species, native from Siberia to southern Africa. It's in the same family as hyacinth and lily of the valley. They're also distant relatives of the onion and garlic. Some of the African species are grown as ornamental plants, but the best known is the garden asparagus many of us love.
Like I said earlier, Roman royalty prized asparagus and would even send runners into the frozen Alps with asparagus spears to freeze them for storage.
The ancient Greeks harvested the wild asparagus in connection with their goddess of love, mm-hmm. Aphrodite. Many other cultures also believed freshly sprouted asparagus a symbol of fertility because of its shape and the way that it grows. Some even use it as an aphrodisiac.
Asparagus even appeared in an Egyptian frieze about 5,000 years ago. Apparently, Queen Nefertiti was a fan. Archaeologists actually found traces of asparagus on dishes excavated by the Pyramid of Saqqara. In Egyptian culture, the vegetable was considered sacred and used in religious ceremonies.
Mm-hmm. Get this. In ancient China, honored guests were treated to an asparagus foot bath when they arrived. It was used in ancient Chinese medicine as an anti-swelling medicine. I can only guess that after a long walk to China, guests would definitely need some. You're going to figure out what's good for feet after you make that walk. Yeah.
And historically, asparagus was included in Easter dinners because it is a true sign of spring, a symbol of new life and fertility. And it fasts growth symbolizes resurrection.
Hmm. Now, there is some controversy over whether it was the Romans or the Egyptians who first cultivated asparagus, but it was grown as a crop in these two ancient civilizations over 2,000 years ago.
Being both Italian and Egyptian, I take claim to the asparagus completely. The popularity of the asparagus seems to have died out during the Middle Ages. I guess they had better things to worry about. But it continued to be cultivated by the Arabs in what is present-day Syria, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, and Iraq.
Mm. Now, the French continued to cultivate asparagus, and it was reintroduced into Europe in the 15th century by French monks. Louis XIV ordered his royal gardeners to grow the vegetable in his Versailles hothouses so he could eat it year-round.
Asparagus was then brought to North America by the French colonists in the 1600s. It wasn't until 1850 that it made its way to California, who is now the leading grower of this vegetable.
Herbalists believed asparagus to have many medicinal benefits. It was used as a laxative and to expel gravel and stone from the kidneys. It was also used to treat urinary problems. It acts as a diuretic and helps rid the body of excess water and salt. That's even and there's even research suggesting that asparagus extract may help alleviate hangovers.
The asparagus species possesses a variety of biological properties like antioxidants, immunostimulants, anti-inflammatory, anti-hepatotoxic, which is preventing damage to the liver, antibacterial, antitoxic, which helps delay uterine contractions, and reproductive agents. Actually, it's really fascinating when you look into all the ways that asparagus was used as a medicine.
Well, it certainly has many health benefits, even just by eating it. Asparagus can help with weight loss, help prevent urinary tract infections, promote reproductive health, and even be a mood booster. Huh. Asparagus is packed with nutrients, including vitamins A, C, E, K, B6, folate, iron, potassium, copper, calcium, and protein. Plus, as you mentioned, Melissa, it is a rich source of antioxidants.
Huh. That's right. But the real question I want answered is, why does it make my pee stinky?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got this. I know this. Me.
Call on me.
All right, James.
The odor is caused by your body's gastrointestinal system and metabolism reacting to the vegetable. Asparagus contains an acid which releases sulfur compounds when it's digested. Mm. That causes your urine to have a funky smell. But interesting fact, only around half of people experience this phenomenon. For some, it's because there's stomachs don't digest the acid in a way that release the sulfur. For others, they simply don't detect the odor.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Another weird fact, though, is that most gardeners plant male asparagus.
That's not weird. That's actually kind of smart.
You would say that, James.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That sounds bad coming from me, the one guy in the world.
Yeah.
But no, it's actually science, you two. Male asparagus is easier to harvest. It grows in larger quantities as well and produces large, more delicious spears. In the spring, it grows small yellow flowers, but during the fall, the female plant grows red berries known as asparagus fruit.
Hmm.
These are toxic and should never be eaten. Very rarely will a male plant produce berries. Many gardeners will dig up the female plants, roots, and all once they produce berries. They do this because the weight of the berries can cause the plants to topple over to touch the ground. This can cause fungi growth and damage your entire bed.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right about the science. Mm-hmm. Good note, James.
Yeah, thank you, James.
Thank you. And one more thing worth mentioning. Asparagus comes in three colors: green, purple, and white.
Wow.
I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know white was an option.
Oh, yeah.
The purple one, now I can match. I can match with it. The purple ones turn green when they're cooked. The white ones are mostly grown in France and other areas in Europe. They're grown in the dark. They get covered with dirt as soon as the spears appear and grow entirely underground. They're harvested with a special tool called a white asparagus gouge. It has a handle with a long rod and a blade at the end that can reach into the mound and cut the asparagus underground. This process is obviously more labor intensive, and therefore white asparagus is far more expensive. Mm-hmm. But I, just real quick pause, I didn't even know anything grew like that. I thought everything grew above. That blew my mind. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is really awesome. And understandably that we don't have it as available here because it's far more prized over there.
Mm. Right. Well, if I remember correctly, I've seen some different colored asparagus at the farmer's market. So people might want to check that out this summer. And this is all well and good, but can we please stop, be done talking about the science and now get on to the good part?
Of course, Beth. Mm. Let's talk recipes. But first, I have to share the story about why I hated asparagus as a kid.
Yes, please.
So my mom always made asparagus toast, and I thought it was disgusting. I don't remember her making asparagus any other way, so I thought asparagus was icky.
Hold up. What's asparagus toast?
Well, it's pretty much what it sounds like. Mom would make a piece of toast, boil asparagus to put on top of the toast, and then cover it with white gravy. I thought it was a soggy, disgusting mess, but that's how my mom liked to make it. She loved it. As an adult, I realize now it was that she boiled the heck out of the asparagus so that it was easy to cut on the toast. I've learned since then that cooking it very quickly is the best way to make asparagus.
That's true, and it's not just because of how it tastes. The short cooking time keeps more of the vitamins and nutrients intact. The shorter, the better. Some people even eat it raw.
I like it raw, but blanched or steamed until just tender is probably my favorite.
It's also delicious roasted in the oven or grilled. And it's super easy to roast it. After you wash it, trim off the tough woody ends and then throw it on a baking sheet, spritz it with some olive oil and season with some salt and pepper. Then you roast it in a 400 degree oven for about 10 minutes. It's delicious just like that. Or you can squeeze some fresh lemon juice or on top, or maybe put some shaved Parmesan cheese with it.
Now you're talking. Mm-hmm. You know, I might try it if you add the cheese part.
Okay.
All right. Asparagus is also delicious with eggs. You can bake it into a quiche or a frittata. It's also really good in omelets or a scramble. Apparently, if you're on a diet, asparagus and boiled eggs are the perfect meal. Fills you up with plenty of fiber from the asparagus and protein from the eggs.
There's the great weight loss idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about roasted wrapped asparagus bundles?
With prosciutto? That sounds delicious.
Yes.
I read some interesting things about that this weekend and how they make prosciutto. I never knew it was aged that long and never cooked.
Yes, my people, the Italians, they know their way around a good ham.
Well, we might have to talk about that on a future segment.
Yeah. You're getting sidetracked, people. Mm. How about angel hair pasta with shrimp and asparagus?
Ooh, yum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you make it
in a light tomato sauce using plum tomatoes, garlic, chicken broth, and white wine.
Ooh, I would have to try that. Light tomatoes. I think I could handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one I have to try. Parmesan asparagus fries. You did the prepared asparagus into an egg and flour mixture, then dredge it through a mixture of panko and Parmesan and spray it generously with olive oil. Then you can bake it in the oven or use an air fryer. That sounds easy enough. Easy even for me to make, I think.
Yeah, James, I think you could pull that one off.
I think so, too.
I'm going to try.
And we didn't even get to the soups yet. You can make a cream of asparagus leek soup or just even cream of asparagus. This is for true asparagus lovers, though.
Yeah, the addition of leeks is sure to make your kitchen smell earthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever cooked with leeks, but it's a special smell. But it sounds like a cozy, delicious soup.
Yes.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers is pushing for more support from the state legislature after a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development. Republican lawmakers removed more than 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Evers also highlighted the administration's cuts to AmeriCorps. And a relief for many patients, UW Health has announced a new multi-year contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Officials say it will guarantee healthcare access for Anthem members at various UW Health facilities across the state. The two companies had been negotiating for months and just kept doing extensions of the same deal. According to a press release, the newly agreed-upon contract will cover employer-based Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. And every spring, officials across the state have to remove abandoned boats from Wisconsin shorelines. It can be a really time-consuming process, and every year in Milwaukee, it's almost turned into a spectator event people show up to watch. And now, state lawmakers are proposing a bill that would add hefty fines for folks who leave their boats out. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The proposal comes days after a cabin cruiser named Deep Thought was pulled from the Milwaukee shoreline and a yacht named Sweet Destiny was towed from the St. Croix River. The proposed legislation would give owners 30 days to collect their boat after law enforcement authorities deem it abandoned. If the boat isn't removed, the owners could face a $10,000 fine and up to 9 months in jail.
You can find more Wisconsin stories and all our shows anytime on the Civic Media app or on our website, civicmedia.us. On your Memorial Day, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's pause this Memorial Day to honor the men and women who gave their lives in service to our nation.
While we think of this day as the unofficial beginning of summer, we know it is also a time of somber but inspiring memories. Memories of so many courageous Americans fought and died so that we could enjoy the blessings of this day.
That's former President Ronald Reagan. To those who never made it home, we remember you and we thank you. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind will be east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 47 for a low tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. It's hard to believe we are almost to the end of the month of May.
Wow.
And Memorial Day is just this coming Monday, a week from today. Woo. 1 week from today.
Go Raptors.
Not only is it a day to remember those we've lost and who fought to protect our freedom, but it's a day to connect with friends and family for fun and food.
It's the unofficial start of grilling season, although with the weather last week, many of us may have already begun.
I had it a few times. Yes. I've done it a few times
yeah,
already.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Got two in.
Yeah. Yay! When it comes to food and Memorial Day, you know the grill will be involved. Whether it's hamburgers or hot dogs, brats or chicken, there's nothing like freshly grilled meat during the summer. Mm. But those meals and those dishes are seldom served alone. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about the side dishes.
Beth, didn't you already do an episode on side dishes?
Yeah, honey, that was on Thanksgiving.
Okay? Oh, that's right. Now I remember.
This is summer grilling sides. There are different options, and there are ways to make a side that will make a statement and possibly make it even the star of the meal for Memorial Day.
Okay.
So sides can easily become that afterthought of the meal, like you choose that main dish and, okay, well, what are we going to have with it? But when it's well done, these sides can steal the spotlight from the main dish, whatever that dish may be. I found three websites that offer some interesting ways to elevate the sides, and I took a recipe from each one. So from Delicious.com's article, 56 Memorial Day side dishes perfect for barbecues, picnics, and more, kick off the summer with the best sides ever, they shared a recipe for broccoli Caesar pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their description of the dish is just as appealing as the dish itself. Quote, if Caesar salad took a vacation to the Midwest, she would become this broccoli Caesar pasta salad.
Such a great, that's
absolutely
isn't that a great
right.
line?
Yeah, it's a bar. Yeah.
Bright green, crisp, tender broccoli is tossed with cavatappi, shredded parm, and shards of crispy croutons in a silky homemade Caesar dressing for an unforgettable spin on this classic cookout staple.
Mm-hmm.
So the recipe has two components, the dressing and the side itself and the salad. So here's how to make it. For the dressing, the first step is in a small bowl, combine one large garlic clove that you've finely chopped with one tablespoon of lemon juice and let that sit for 5 minutes. Meanwhile, step two, on a cutting board, finely chop three anchovy fillets. They recommend ones packed in oil. Sprinkle an eighth of a teaspoon of salt on top and continue to chop, smashing the anchovies with the flat edge of the blade until a paste forms. So be careful you use the heel and the palm of your hand on that end of the blade,
right.
the dull end of the blade, to be able to do that. So you don't want to cut yourself making this salad.
All right.
Step three. To the bowl, with the garlic mixture, you're going to add a half a cup of mayonnaise, a half a teaspoon Worcestershire sauce, a quarter teaspoon pepper, and the anchovy paste. Whisk until combined, Taste and season with the salt and more lemon juice if you need. Step four.
With anchovies, I don't think you're going to need much more salt. I don't think so.
Well, and that's, salt is always to taste.
Of course.
So make sure it's where you like it to be.
It's step a really it's important to remember.
It is.
Yeah. I appreciate whenever I hear somebody say that because I don't use salt very often.
Right.
And it's a nice reminder of that.
And that's the thing. It's a personal taste. Some of us like more salt. Some of us don't. So do it to taste. Step four, you're going to cover that bowl and refrigerate it until you're ready to use it. You can make it ahead at least one day, but try not to do it too far in advance. You transfer that to an airtight container and you can refrigerate that. You can also use, if you don't want to go through all of those steps, a store-bought Caesar salad dressing if you don't want to, or if you don't have the time to make that dressing. You can go ahead and do that too. Nobody's going to know if you cheated or not.
We won't tell anybody.
Right. Yes. You're the only one that's going to know.
If you do make it, though, you will let them know.
It is true.
That's right. Good point.
So with a salad, step one is you're going to arrange a rack in the center of the oven and preheat that oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. In a large bowl, you're going to toss 4 ounces white country-style bread torn into 3/4 pieces with 2 tablespoons of oil and a 1/8 of a teaspoon of salt, again to taste. Spread that on a large metal baking sheet and reserve the bowl. You're going to do this so that you can make your own croutons.
Ooh,
so step two is you're going to bake the bread into croutons. So they're going to bake until they're golden brown and crisp. That's about 8 to 10 minutes, and you're going to let them cool. Again, if you don't want to do that step, you can always buy your favorite store-bought croutons. That works too. Again, we won't tell. Step three, meanwhile, bring a medium pot of salted water to a boil. Add 8 ounces of broccoli cut into 1-inch florets and cook, stirring occasionally, just until tender, 3 to 4 minutes, reserving the rest of the water in the pot. Transfer just the broccoli to the reserved bowl. Okay, so you want to make sure that that water is still there. Step four is you're going to return that water to a boil, and you're going to use that then to cook the pasta. So you're going to add 8 ounces of cavatappi pasta and cook, stirring occasionally until al dente, according to the package instructions. Drain the pasta in a fine mesh sieve, then run cold water over the pasta to wash the starch off and to stop the cooking. Transfer to a bowl with the broccoli and then add a tablespoon of oil and toss to coat. Refrigerate that until chilled, at least 1 hour or up to a day in advance. Step five is you're going to drizzle the pasta and broccoli with about 3/4 of the dressing that you've made and toss to coat it. Coarsely crush half of the croutons and add that to the pasta salad along with 1/8 cup of finely grated Parmesan cheese, and you toss that until combined. And then the last step is you transfer it to the bowl that you want to serve it in and top it with the remaining whole croutons and some more Parmesan, and you serve with the remaining dressing alongside of it.
Okay.
So people can add as much or little of the dressing as they want.
Boy, is there any cookout or potluck in the Midwest in the summer that doesn't have at least one, probably several pasta salads?
Yeah.
And it is a staple for outdoor picnicky type things in the Midwest.
And most have their favorite.
Yes, they do. Oh, yeah.
And Helen makes the best or something like that or what have you. As a side note, I did not realize, I think I was like a teenager when I finally heard the term Parmesan, because growing up, it was always grated Parm. Just Parm. Everything was Parm. We had a lot of Parmesan in the house, and it was always Parm. I don't think I ever heard somebody say
Parmesan. Or in our house,
Parmesan.
If you want to be silly, it's Parmesan.
Yeah, I like that.
Hilarious. Shaky cheese.
Sounds like a really nice meal, Beth. And there was some more on this.
There is. There's another recipe from tasteofhome.com's article, 44 Memorial Day Sides to Elevate Your Summer Cookout. And I found one that I am dying to try this summer, Seth.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a grilled one, so I'm going to need your help with this one. Not that I can't do the grill, but you tend to take hold of that over the summer. But I found bacon-wrapped asparagus.
Wow.
After all, doesn't bacon make everything better?
Yes.
Even asparagus, right?
For somebody sitting beside me here that does not like asparagus.
I wish I liked it.
Maybe,
I really do.
Maybe this is your doorway into starting
maybe
to try
it. Maybe the bacon will help,
Like I said, bacon makes everything better. So the first step is you're going to wrap the asparagus in the bacon. You place the asparagus on a sheet of wax paper and coat with cooking spray. Sprinkle with pepper and turn to coat. You wrap the piece of bacon around each spear then and secure the ends with a toothpick.
All right.
So you're going to oil and season the asparagus, then wrap it with a bacon.
Gotcha.
And you secure that bacon with the toothpicks. The second step is you're going to grill the spears. So you got to be careful with the toothpicks that are in there. You might want to soak them in water first.
Mm, yeah.
All right. So grill uncovered over medium heat until the bacon is crisp for about 4 to 6 minutes on each side. And then you discard the toothpicks before serving.
Yes. Very, very important.
Beth, I'm sorry, real quick. I know the reason for this, but just so Seth does, why would you water the toothpicks? Why would you?
Because they're made of wood and you're on the grill, so they could easily catch fire.
Yeah,
when you
yeah.
soak them in water, it's harder to burn wet wood.
There right, you go.
Right. So, I figured that was yep. it. But yep. I also, when I assume stuff is usually when I get in trouble, so I just want to double check. I mean, yeah. I wanted to double check for Seth.
Right.
Just
right.
for me. Just right. for me, yeah.
I was very aware.
Gotcha, yeah. And you can actually do a couple of twists on this recipe as well. If you want to sweeten it up, you can brush the bacon with maple syrup and Dijon mustard before grilling to introduce a sweet and tangy glaze that caramelizes beautifully on that bacon. You can make it cheesy. You can wrap a thin slice of cheese, such as cheddar or mozzarella, around the asparagus before adding the bacon.
See, now we're getting into my wheelhouse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then
can't
if you
taste
want
the asparagus anymore.
Or you can add a kick. I know you like spice.
That's true, too.
To do that, to give it a little bit of heat, you can add a pinch of red pepper flakes or a dash of hot sauce to the asparagus before you wrap it.
All right. I think I might be up for trying that.
I think that would be a good thing for us to try this.
Yeah, time. Why not? Give it a shot.
Yeah, we want to follow up on that one.
Yeah. Right. How did that go?
We'll also let you know if any of the toothpicks catch
on fire. Yeah, please do. Please do. Got an article I'm writing about. Yeah.
And our last one is from Epicurious.com. I love that name.
It's a great name.
Mm-hmm. Epicurious.com's article, 71 barbecue sides dishes to add some zing to your next cookout. These spectacular sides just might upstage the main event.
Mm.
I found potates reginates. It's a Greek lemon potatoes with garlic and oregano.
Nice.
Ooh, doesn't that
sound
pretty
yummy?
Good.
Yeah, it does.
So here are the steps to make this. You're going to, step one, place a rack in the center of the oven and preheat to 400 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, you're going to place 3 pounds of baking potatoes, peeled, cut into 1.5-inch cubes in a single layer in a 13x9 metal baking dish or roasting pan, and pour 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil over them. Add 4 cloves of garlic, finely chopped, 1.5 teaspoons dried oregano crumbled, and 1 teaspoon either diamond crystal or 1/2 teaspoon of Morton kosher salt, and freshly ground black pepper to taste, and toss well to coat with olive oil.
Mm.
You know, so you want to make sure that's all coated and seasoned well. The third step is you're going to roast those potatoes for 15 minutes, and then you're going to pull it out and add 1/2 cup of chicken stock and toss to combine, and then bake for 10 more minutes. Then you're going to take it out, add 1/3 cup of fresh lemon juice, toss it again, and then put it back in to bake until the potatoes are fork tender, and that will take another 10 to 15 minutes or more. Step four is you're going to preheat the boiler on high. You're going to broil the potatoes until golden brown and turning crispy. That'll take 2 to 3 minutes. And then your last step is to sprinkle 2 to 3 tablespoons of chopped fresh oregano on top.
Wow. I'm a sucker for roast potatoes of any kind, and that sounds really good.
Yeah, very yummy. And there's a couple of variations you can do on this, too. You could add tomato chili potatoes, make it that way, where you dissolve 1 tablespoon of tomato paste in the stock and reduce the amount of lemon juice to taste. You could substitute Aleppo-style pepper or crushed red pepper flakes for the black pepper.
A little spicier.
Makes it a little, gives you a little bit of heat.
A little kick on there.
Yeah.
Just what you want.
So these sounded yummy to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like I said, one had 77 recipes, another one had over 40, another one had 55. So there are hundreds of recipes you can go online if you're looking for something different, because we always go to the same one. I know in our household, we do the same size.
We tend to do that. Yeah, right.
So adding something different into that repertoire and that bacon-wrapped asparagus won't take too long, and it
right.
sounds pretty easy to make. So you just have to be careful of how long you grill it.
Something I was thinking about of, you know, taking a dish that you're familiar with and, you know, doing something different with it, like
macaroni and cheese, right? Mm-hmm. That's a, another staple that you're going to find at picnics and that kind of stuff. I'm sure you can find different ways to spice that up. And I don't mean chopped up hot dogs like what we did when we were kids. I mean, the other ways to you know, literally spice it up, maybe make it a little hotter, maybe make it something like that.
Yeah, you could always add barbecue sauce to it, or you could add Frank's Red Hot. So make it like buffalo style.
Buffalo style mac and cheese. Sounds like a good idea.
So
maybe some shredded chicken in there.
You can always add veggies to it. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into more of that casserole thing that we're used to.
Excuse me, hot dish, but yes.
Well, it depends on what dish. If I'm using a casserole dish, it is still a casserole.
Speaking of dish, thank you, Beth, for the links to the articles. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of good ones. I know my mom is curious about one of them, and she's going to be diving into.
Excellent.
And because I came across Copycat Dunkin' Chocolate.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. On this Memorial Day, a tribute to fallen veterans. President Trump has just laid a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery. Trump says he will delay his 50% tariffs on the European Union to allow talks to continue. Analyst Rebecca Christie.
The EU would like to de-escalate. If there's a compromise that can be found that would take the tension out of the system, that would just pull everyone back from the brink.
Trump had grown frustrated with the negotiations. He had a change of heart after a weekend phone conversation with the EU president. Trump lashed out at Vladimir Putin yesterday, and overnight, Russia launched its biggest drone attack yet on Ukraine. Germany now says it and its allies will remove range limits on weapons provided to Ukraine, a move the Kremlin calls quite dangerous. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James